Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today. Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology on WMR.fm. It's the 19th of February, 2026. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hi everybody.
And it's a really busy week, but not such a busy week in organic search for some reason. We got story after story after story after story and only a few googly ones. So, if you're here for the Google Organic, stick around. It's there in the oven. It's coming out soon. But we got a whole bunch of AI stories to open up. Before we get going, Christine, how you doing?
I'm good. It's overcast here today, but the good part is we're getting snow on the mountains. So I don't have snow in town, but 1,000 feet above me, there is snow all over the mountains. So I'm going to go drive around tomorrow. And Red Rock is 10 minutes from my house. I'll go drive through Red Rock and look at this snow.
Behalf of everybody in Canada and in the American Northeast, we got so much of it that I just don't even know what to do with it. It's truly amazing. I'm in a really weird situation. For the first time in my independent career, at the end of March, I'm clientless. It's not ever happened to me before.
Well, you still have one client between us, but
that's true. I still do. I still have. I'm major clientless. How's that?
Yeah. If you need somebody to write really excellent content for you or to help audit your website, you should definitely give Jim a mention. Hello. Look up wherever you find
which
him.
I truly appreciate. Website audits, nothing too big, nothing too small. I truly appreciate that, Christine. But the weird thing is, I've never thought I was immune to this sort of thing, but it just hasn't actually happened until now. There's a number of SEOs that are finding themselves on the short end of the employment stick. Many of them who were working in-house for large companies or in agency. I've been independent for, since like 2006. So I'm 20 years. It's a weird position to be in.
Yeah, I had that situation last year where I was in the same position. The thing is that, unfortunately, I think a lot of sites are neglecting their actual SEO, and they don't realize that whatever someone wants to call AO or GEO is just SEO because it's the same indexes. And soon, AIO and AI mode for Google is going to have ranking signals from the regular search results called core ranking signals applied to those results. So your citations are going to be based 100%. On your SEO value to show up in the AI overviews of the AI mode. Now, that's not the same as showing up in ChatGPT or something, but they also, a good SEO site is a good site for all those purposes. And unfortunately, given the lack of audits I've had and other SEOs have had, they're not auditing their sites. I see people told me they got laid off so they could use AI to do audits. By the way, AI does not do audits. An audit is not simply a checklist you run through. It's like experience that tells you that this thing is wrong and you will not get it from an AI tool. Most of what's in the SEO industry that we know is transferred between people, not public. So it couldn't have trained on it in the first place. But yeah, I think we're going to be pretty busy come mid, like spring, summer, when Google rolls out some updates, because sites aren't taking care of their SEO stuff.
Well, right? I do. I think if I can get over this lull, and others, if you can get over a lull for a few months, I think it's going to be a lot of cleanup work coming, as Christine says, probably spring or early summer. It's just getting through the doldrums until then.
Can I add one thing out there, though? If you're using AI to write your content, keep a tight eye on it, because it'll do really well for 3 to 6 months. And often you'll find it crashes after that. And if your site goes down in traffic and there's not a Google update or technical issue, it's probably because you used the AI content. So just let you know, because I do a lot of site reviews.
Ironically, the client I just lost, I told them they needed link building. And so we were getting like articles written by their staff to do, exactly that. They went and hired an SEO company that's going to do AI copy link building at scale, a scale that I'm not prepared to match because I don't think it's necessarily a healthy strategy. So, we'll see what happens.
I'll see. You should. So some people know that usually takes 6 to 9 months. It's not immediate. But when your site crashes, it crashes hard when you use things like AI content. So.
Well, the problem from the position I'm sitting in is it's really hard to wag your finger at somebody and say, I told you so, because it loses a lot of
I
power
know.
after 6 to 9 months, right?
It
Remember when I
does.
told you so? You don't remember at all. Oh, well, I did. I swear to you, I did.
Well, you know why we know this timeline is because in a lot of the private groups, a bunch of SEOs, when AI first came out, well, affiliate marketers mostly, are like, hey, I put out 2,000 pages. Look, I like spiked way up. And I'm like, great. Come back in 6 months and show us how you're doing. And most of the people that were willing to come back came back and showed us how they completely crashed. And when I say completely crashed, I mean 90% of traffic was lost. Because Google's like, doesn't it? And Google has started applying the quality signals about 3 to 4 months. That's how long it takes their things to roll through the internet. And when they started applying quality signals to content that wasn't severely edited, Google considers that garbage content. You have to really edit it for Google not to consider it that. So.
So, one of the things that is actually really good for SEOs to use AI for is helping sort through the helping create dashboards, helping create way new and innovative ways at looking at existing data. For
In.
instance, if you use it to trick out Google Search Console, as it's now letting you do, you can save yourself a whole bunch of time clicking around to get the exact aspects of the reports, and you can actually can combine more filters using Google Search Console AI powered configuration tool than you can just doing it manually.
Yeah, so you can apply filters like narrow down data by query, page, country, device, search appearance, or date range. You can configure comparisons like custom date range without manual setup. That's kind of nice because their manual setup for a custom date range is really like a pain. It doesn't work most of the time. Citing metrics, choose which of the four available metrics, clicks, impressions, average, CTR, and average position to display on a question. Limitations, scope, it only is in the performance report for search results, not for discover or news reports. Accuracy, AI can sometimes misinterpret requests, so always review to make sure that you're getting the correct data. Limitations, the feature is designed for configurations, filters, comparison metrics. It cannot perform actions like sorting the table or exporting data. This is in the search engine on table. So my only concern is because I posted on Twitter, like, are you excited about this? I'm like, eh, right now my client doesn't have access to GSC, so I'm fine with it. But a client that has GSC access, this just is a nightmare in my head because they don't won't know what they're looking at, but they'll think it's they can just ask it and it'll give them answers that are actionable, and that's not necessarily the case.
So my only problem with this, and I've actually tried using it earlier this morning. I'm so used to muscle memory. One of the things, the very first thing I do is sit down with coffee and in the morning and review every analytic account and every dashboard at my disposal. And we'll see if I enjoy using this in a couple of weeks. Should I have clients use it with?
I actually use SEO Gates to do gets to do most of my stuff right now as far as looking at data. So yeah, I'll check it out, but I'm probably not it's not gonna make me use it more, I don't think. We'll see.
Okay, Google AI Mode is now rolled out in 53 new languages. Well, again, pretty much everyone on Earth who's using the internet is now reading stuff in AI mode.
And it's 1 billion people that covers 57 languages. I'm guessing they don't
That's
have
pretty
Mandarin in
amazing, although I
there.
do wonder how many people are speaking Emiratic, or Afrikaans, or even the Basque language while using the internet.
Yeah,
I
because a
think
lot
it's
of those countries people use English. Yeah.
I do think it's wonderfully cool that it serves all of these languages. And even more importantly, I'm really hoping that AI can be used as a tool to save dying languages or languages that fewer and fewer and fewer people are speaking.
Yeah, they have a lot of, I mean, they have a lot of languages you probably haven't even heard of, not you, I mean, just in general, like a couple of these I haven't heard of before, so.
Oh, indeed. There's thousands, literally, there's thousands of languages on Earth, and yeah, many languages where you have, like, dozens of speakers.
Like
Literally,
Wolof.
Just dozens.
Wolof? Wolof? W-O-L-O-F? I will have to look that one up. I do not know that one. So.
You know what? I can make a bunch of jokes about it. I'm not gonna. But, okay, you know what? We still have an action-packed show, and we got an interview with our sponsor, Tom from Audiency, coming up after the show. So we're gonna keep moving. Facebook Messenger.
A real quick one. Meta is shutting down Messenger's standalone website. I did not know they had a standalone website. In April, they're going to shut down the standalone website. They have shut down the Messenger app in desktop, but they still have the Messenger app in mobile. I hate that they don't have it in desktop anymore. I got to tell you, when I have to send you something, Jim, I actually go to my phone because it's a pain to open up Facebook and then open up a window and all that sort of stuff. Because I used to be able to just keep it on my, you know, my apps in the bottom bar of my computer, and I could just click it and send a message, and now I have to go into Facebook to do it. So I'll do it on my phone. But yeah, it's going away. If you've been using the website version, it's gone. I mean, the solo website version. We have a new complaints over Google reviews again.
Mm-hmm. So, it seems that there's another bug at Google Business, Google My Business, or Google Business Profiles. Yeah. The same thing happened in December and same thing happened in October.
Yeah, so hopefully it'll be fixed soon. We know it's been a problem off and on for quite some time. Talk about problems. We have Google AdSense Anchor and Vignette Ads bug won't close ads. This is from Barry Schwartz at Search Engine Roundtable. There's a bug impacting the number of Google AdSense publishers where the Anchor and Vignette Ads won't close for users. There's no way to close the ad itself.
So you can just, that so X never appears, or it just doesn't work?
The X just doesn't appear. You have no way to close the ad. I got one of those, I think, the other day because I had an ad I could not close out of, and I was like, what the heck? I had to close the app to like reopen it. So, but anyway, they said it started on February 13th, and they recommend keeping the ads disabled until a fix is deployed. They are actively working on it.
Okay. So, we have a segment that we call Stories from the Abyss. Really quickly, Christine and I have been covering tech forever. As long as there's been an internet, we've been covering the internet. We've had a front row seat on watching technology change and the way technology gets used change. And in this case, the people who brought us the technologies, we've had a front row seat on their lives as well. Bill Gates is mentioned prominently in the Epstein files. Earlier
so
this
do we
week.
We do have to be specific. He has not been tied to an illegal act at this time. But he is in there quite frequently.
He is, yeah, mentioned very, very prominently in the Epstein files. Okay, and because we were speaking to a litigious world, he's not been found guilty of or charged with anything at this point.
At this time, yeah.
And he's strongly denied any claims of speculation as to why he was in the Epstein report. But he also canceled an AI summit keynote amid fresh scrutiny over his links to Epstein.
Within a couple hours of the speaking, too. It wasn't like days before. It was like they decided it literally. At the AI summit in India on Thursday, he just canceled right before he was supposed to go speak. So probably a good idea.
Probably a good idea. And it seems that there's a lot more action around the Epstein files outside of the United States than there is inside of the United States. And I think that American technologarchs, when they go traveling, might find a less accepting environment if they were mentioned in those files than they might find in the United States.
It's very disappointing, I started in tech because part of it, I love the idea of the technology industry back in when we started. you know, they're working on green issues and 3-week vacations and healthcare benefits and all that sort of stuff. And some of the pictures from the files I've seen myself, they don't put anybody in an illegal position, but, you know, Sergey Brin is there having dinner with Epstein, so, you know, a whole bunch of the tech companies having dinner. It's a dinner that he did every year. I'm not saying they did anything illegal or ever had any part in his nefarious activities, but the horrific activities. But this was after he was charged.
Yeah. There's a BC and an AC here. BC is before charges. AC is after charges.
Yeah. And they were meeting with him after he was charged. The official charge was soliciting prostitution from a minor. But so there's a lot of people in the tech world, the science world, the academic world that still went and met with him after they knew that about him. And that's just, they don't have to be criminally, you know, responsible or have done anything that's illegal to also allow us to have a moral response to that. And seeing the pictures of them at this big dinner that they went to every year with him after he had been convicted of that, it's just a sad commentary on the tech industry.
What's sadder and more frightening is understanding how deeply Epstein's tentacles were in the tech industry, how involved he was in some of the philosophies that many of the technologarchs seem to be following now, the far right and white supremacist philosophies. His involvement with Palantir founder and tech financier Peter Thiel is extremely troubling. So yeah, the how many in this network just seem to be involved, and until we know more, the general public knows more, it's difficult for assumptions not to go to the worst place, to think that they actually may have abused children themselves or were somehow otherwise compromised by their involvement with Epstein.
Yeah. And just the fact that just even had, if I knew somebody that did the things that he did, just the one charge, I would not have any more association with them whatsoever. So.
The worst
the
of them all,
speak,
at least,
I guess.
The largest one of all, and the one that has direct impact on our next story, Steve Bannon, the architect of MAGA, the Trump Revolution, and the fascist takeover of of the American government. So, and that this has a direct bearing on Google losing one of the most important foundations of the knowledge graph, the CIA World Factbook.
Yeah, and not just Google, but all the large language models had it in their training as one of the things, like Wikipedia. And I've used it before. It's like really interesting sometimes just to go through, because there's so much. If people don't know about the CIA World Factbook, it's like, what country do you want to know stuff about? And they would have like pages about that country. Just from like, what does it export? What does it import? What are its people like? What's the culture?
Yeah, people say what you want to say about the CIA. They did world fact books better than anyone on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing. I used it a lot for research when I was in university. And so it's really sad. And I don't believe I've heard of any explanation for removing it.
The reason for removing it is because the CIA no longer produces a World Factbook that got killed by the Trump administration.
Okay, I didn't know that they killed it. I thought that.
The world has lost one a great valuable asset that was provided again free to the world. One of those great gifts that the old American society gave to the world. New America doesn't give such stuff away. It hoards it for itself. But old America happily shared its knowledge with the world. Sometimes that has harms. Facebook's founder, Mark Zuckerberg, is bizarrely on trial in LA Superior Court. This is a really weird story. Christine, I got to profess, I don't understand all of the aspects of this story? For instance, why is Facebook CEO or Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg anywhere near a courtroom?
Because they decided not to settle.
But why Zuckerberg? They got like Facebook. Why is Zuckerberg's one of the richest? What?
Well, they're suing Facebook, but he's the CEO, so they had to come in and be questioned. But the phone's talking.
Sorry, I lost you there for a second.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can now. Yes.
Okay, sorry, I forgot to disconnect my phone. I'm sorry. So normally these are hearings in Congress. This is an actual court case based on one person's complaint, but we also know sometimes one person is just the one withstanding to make the court case happen. But basically, this has been charged for. They've been charged with this. I shouldn't say charged, wrong word. But they've been accused of this for many years. They had a whistleblower that showed they used dark patterns to get people addicted to their tech. So basically, they have an individual who says they were depressed and sad and were super affected and super addicted to the technology. So they're on the stand. And my only guess is the reason they're doing that is a bit of hubris, because it's like one girl who is the plaintiff in this, because it's an actual court case.
I just found the reason. In a 2015 email chain, Zuckerberg himself is caught pushing to increase users' time spent in an app by 12%. He's asking his engineers to increase users' time in app by 12%. Yeah,
that's when they came up with the dark patterns, I believe. They're using the dark patterns to get people more addicted to social, like endless scrolling is one of the dark patterns. If they took off infinite scroll, they know they'd have much lower usage.
Okay, so this is why Zuckerberg's on the stand. He's on the stand because a 20-year-old plaintiff who's only going by her initials, KGM, is suggesting that she faced like terrible life experiences because she became a compulsive social media user.
Yes.
So,
go ahead.
Sorry?
I was going to say, but we know from their whistleblower that had hearings in Congress that they did do this, try to get people, I'm sure they didn't use the word addicted in internal text, but basically addicted to the app by using dark patterns to get people's brains to release dopamine. The large language models are doing that right now because they're trying to get it to release oxytocin and dopamine, to get people addicted to their product. So, so it's a significant case. It's also significant that they didn't just settle. Like, why take the chance in court? Why have all this stuff come out in court? You have evidence and evidentiary hearings, and that's all going to be part of this case. But they decided to go forward and not just settle it. So, and they're saying that age verification is very difficult. It's very hard for them. And I'm sorry, but how much money did he spend on the 3D world that he was building? What did he pay somebody $1 billion to work for?
He spent gajillions on trying to create a meta universe, a 3D meta universe that never worked out. But in Facebook or Meta's defense here, like, did you just see the trials that like Discord went through because it and Reddit and a couple other social media applications were going to be forced to do age verification as well?
Yeah, but Apple does it, but this is my point, right? Like when Dave used to say, when you're trying to scam the search results, Dave, who used to have this seat in this show, are you going to go up against 30,000 MIT engineers? I think you're going to lose, right? Well, he has the money to pay the engineers to figure this out, but they didn't focus on it. We know from just recently with the bots, right? The lawyers approved bots having sensual and romantic conversations with 13 to 17-year-olds. We know Brazil sued them to get rid of the bots that acted like children to have romantic relationships with adults, right? Like, they're not children-focused. Facebook never has been.
And as I think you're saying here, Christine, Zuckerberg and other executives, both at Meta and the other platforms, are absolutely aware of all of this.
Exactly.
If they're not aware, their subordinates are aware. But within the corporations, there was a research saying it has a detrimental effect for these reasons, and they're still plowing forward.
And let's just say the numbers aren't small. A meta document in 2018 stated that there were 4 million children under 13 had Instagram accounts, including roughly 30% of children aged 10 to 12 in the United States. 30% of kids in the United States. You can't tell me they're working on a tech to reduce that problem when you have 30% of children in the United States between 10 and 12 on the platform.
Well, no, indeed. And once you have people habitually using a platform at such a young age, it's likely they're going to continue to use it moving forward in their lives. But more importantly, if you can advertise heavily to young people at that age, it's likely they're going to remember your brand and think about it 10 years or 15 years into the future when they're actually buying stuff.
Well, yes, and as a sociologist, part of the research into platforms like this or anything new is the next generation rejects it. That's just how it works. So they had a huge problem. They had a huge attrition rate for people in the next generation. So my, I don't know for a fact that's why they orchestrated plans to get younger people involved and addicted to their tech, but I'm sure it played into it. Because the next generation, like 10 years ago, had articles about the next generation of Facebook isn't there. There isn't going to be people that are going to use the
Facebook
platform.
Leads to Instagram, which was supposed to lead to the metaverse, but the metaverse just didn't work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
But what all of that, how to say this, all of that makes me, the adult, very, very angry. Damn capitalism, damn corporate America, all of that stuff, sure. But what astounds me here is how douchey Meta, Zuckerberg, and Zuckerberg's security team, and a couple of Meta's lawyers were during the court case itself, showing up, for instance, wearing the Meta goggles.
Yeah, Meta glasses with cameras that record and take photos, which is illegal in that courtroom. Some courtrooms allow you to do it, but that one, they're not.
Case about the invasiveness of social media. I mean, read the room, guys.
And it's a jury trial. So this isn't a hearing. He's never had a jury trial. This is a jury trial. So there's people in the courtroom that know that the judge admonished them about having those. And if he found out they had any recordings or photos, that he was going to put them in contempt of court, charge them with contempt of court. So I haven't heard anything if they found out they had any, but how arrogant to come into that courtroom knowing you can't record anything with those glasses on. So this is all, it's all orchestrated. Zuckerberg knows that this is what they're doing. They know what they're trying to do. Romantic sensual conversations with 13 to 17 year olds was a story we did just 5 months ago. Mm-hmm. And their lawyers approved it. It wasn't like an accident. It was an intended thing that had lawyer approval internally. So yeah, they don't try to protect children very often unless they're forced to by things like this.
Is it any wonder why the following nations, Australia, Denmark, France, Germany, Greece, Malaysia, Slovenia, Spain, and the UK have all either passed legislation or are moving to pass legislation to limit access or ban access for young people to social media?
No, that's not a wonder at all. It is, when my nephew was little, they didn't have quite these platforms, but they had some. He had a phone, and I would have to take the phone away from him. He gets so mad. But I'm like, well, you can't be on the phone all day. You have to go do other things. Mm. You know, you have to go touch grass, as we say nowadays. And he gets so mad, but he would go touch grass.
and that's obviously very good for him, although I question the efficacy of banning young people from social media, because I remember when I was a kid, if I was told I wasn't allowed to do something, I would absolutely find a workaround.
You guarantee there's some basement at some house where they have a computer set up and the friend is showing everybody the social thing.
And I'm also concerned. There was a story I read just recently. Canada's considering a ban on social media for youth as well. And so I'm quite interested in this. One of my side things is I work with political parties. I read that disabled kids in Australia are reporting feelings of isolation due to Australia's existing social media ban. And I think that is the kind of unintended consequence that comes of it. Remember MySpace? How calm and cool and wonderful MySpace was?
Before they monetize everything.
If you're out there, Tom, good on you, mate.
Oh, he was working for Facebook for a while. I'm not sure if he's still there.
You know, I'd like to say he was my first internet friend, but he wasn't. But he was many people's first internet friend.
The counter to that also, and maybe they could develop an app that's safe for children to use like that, because I do understand people who have disabilities would find it more isolating. But a lot of kids have been bullied severely using social media, which works faster than just the plain old bullying I grew up with, where some people might meet you around a corner at the school or spread a rumor, but now that rumor is like instant and with a picture and to every friend in your school. So.
So, do you want to see a technologarch freak out? Like, do you know those cartoons? Like where you have like the cartoon where the cartoon's eyes bug out or steam starts coming out of their ears, or maybe their toupee flips up, does a jumps off their head, does a flip in the air, and falls right back down on their head again. You want to see that happen with a bunch of technologarchs?
Sure.
I know I do. So
Why
in
not?
Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker is proposing a new
I
social
love this
media
idea.
fee to help fund Illinois public schools. See, the problem is Illinois public schools are like $200 million in the hole when it comes to
Billion.
funding education. Oh, 2 billion. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this would raise 200 million, but they're 2 billion in the hole. Yeah.
2 billion in the hole per year on education. Oh no, the state has a $2 billion shortfall. They need 200 million more for education. They want to get it out of social media platforms. Taxing based on the number of active users in the state of Illinois, with larger companies paying higher fees. And again, if Mark Zuckerberg is wearing a toupee, I'm not saying he is, but this is a good way to find out, because it will literally jump off his skull, flip over in midair, and fall back down again.
This is based off of Chicago tax of 50 cents for every act for active user per active user over 100,000 in Chicago. They use that to fund mental health services and mental health crisis response programs. And in this one, the tiered rate would change. It would charge social media platforms with 100,000 to 500,000 users in Illinois 10 cents per month for users over 100,000. Like they got that money. That's not gonna break them.
Well,
So I
they
think it's a
certainly
great
have the
idea,
money to
though.
do it in Illinois. They certainly have the money to do it in Chicago. But what if every city and every state in the union wanted in on some of that money? And then
That is.
every city and every state around the world.
Well, I don't know about around the world would be able to do it, but
Why not?
they came up,
You want to
they're
operate in my
hiring.
country? Do this.
They were hiring programmers, developers, and AI at $1 billion. So, I'm not really feeling so sad for having to help out schools.
Oh no, I'm not either.
Yeah,
But I'm just saying,
but I'm saying they
like,
have the money is what I'm trying to say. Like, if you have the money to give a programmer a $1 billion salary with compensation, like, you have the money to do this. So. It's only 10 cents per user over 100 or 500,000. So in the
okay.
city, yeah.
We have long marveled at the way the economy is just being thrown into circles by valuations in tech. This is just another example, I think. Okay, so we are barreling headlong into a significant change in the way that our computers that we relate to the internet and our own computers. And along the way, there's going to be a lot of pain and probably a lot of theft. So I'm not even sure how to. We've been talking about the rise of agentic AI, of AI agents. open claw is a, how to say it? It's not like a one ringum. It makes creating AI agents easy, much simpler.
Yeah, locally. Yeah.
There is such an incredible proliferation of AI agents that the law of averages say there's going to be significant security issues. Sorry, I stepped on you, by the way. I was, Christine, go for it, please.
Oh, it's okay. I just wanted to differentiate so people know. So ClaudeBot is ClaudeBot, not Claude, like Anthropic ClaudeBot. And then it also is known as OpenClaw or MoltBot.
So why we call it OpenClaw instead of ClaudeBot or instead of Claude?
Yeah, well, yeah, because OpenClaw is now what it is in the story of the week. But ClaudeBot is the one that a couple weeks ago we talked about where it created like tens of thousands of agents, although it's supposedly just bots. There's also humans in there, but it did all sorts of crazy things, including committing nefarious code to GitHub, like over 1,000 times, I think it was. And then there was like crypto scammers hijacked X accounts, and a founder gave away his GitHub handle to a lobster mascot. This is from CNET. So anyways, this is the next iteration of that evolution, I guess. So, yeah.
So OpenClaw OpenClaw wants to be an assistant that can learn, remember, and do things for you. So you give it your information, be it your banking information or your purchase information or your I need to turn my lights on at 11 p.m. information, whatever. And it creates an agent to go and do this, that, and whatever task for you. Again, remember what I said a few minutes ago about the proliferation of millions or more? I mean, like, the numbers get really weird fast here because people just make them and make them again and make them again. And the proliferation is going to be enormous. And there's going to be significant security issues. The most, I guess the easiest one to understand would be malicious prompt injection. Christine?
Yeah. Well, before we get to that part, I just want to read a quick blurb from CNET because it kind of describes it all in a few sentences. So OpenClaw lives where you actually communicate, like WhatsApp, Telegram, iMessage, Slack, Discord, Signal, you name it. You text it like you text a friend and it remembers your conversation from weeks ago and can send you proactive reminders. And if you give it permissions, it can automate tasks, run commands, and basically act like a digital personal assistant that never sleeps. The creator of this is, his name is Peter Steinberger, an Austrian developer who sold his last company for $119 million. It doesn't require any specific hardware to run. You do have to have a little bit of a programming knowledge, but not much, to put it on your machine locally. Mac Mini seems to be one of the most popular systems to run it on. So the core idea is that OpenClaw itself mostly routes messages to AI company servers and calls APIs, and the heavy AI work happens on whichever LLM you select, Claude, ChatGPT, or Gemini. And so it launched like 3 weeks ago with 9,000 GitHub stars in 24 hours, and then this last week, 60,000 stars with major names attached to it. Problem is what you were just talking about, security with these agents, all agents, but especially this one because it doesn't have any special guardrails on it, is that it can open you up to a whole lot of potential hacks through something called, Jim just mentioned, invisible prompt injection or indirect prompt injection, which is words somewhere where you don't see them. It could be white on white text. It could be in a message, it could be in the footer of an email someone sends you, it could be in a Word document or a Google Sheets, whatever it happens to be. It can even be HTML comment code on a website. And so the problem is that because it's connected to everything, if it has access, then it can be told to do nefarious things. We don't know the extent of those nefarious things at this time yet because this is all relatively new, but it can be told to do things, and it often will retain your permissions. So you're not there and it starts acting on your computer because it has a indirect or invisible prompt injection, and it has your permissions still in memory, so those permissions can be utilized. So
remember how a few minutes ago I said it made it really easy to create these agents? One of the ways you create, you help program your agent is to go to something called ClawHub. ClawHub stores skills that you can get your agent go out and execute. Koi Security, security company that is doing research specifically around vulnerabilities in ClawBot, has found 824 malicious skills inside of ClawBot. They originally reported 341, but as of 2 days ago, that jumped to 824 skills that can be exploited by outside agents to basically sum it up. When developers get together and share code, which is essentially what's happening when you have your agent communicate with their server, you're going to have attackers come along and find ways to exploit that communication. And so ClawBot sounds amazing, but it sounds like, you know, people got to be real careful using it.
Yeah. If you're going to use it, make sure you use it on a system that, where it's by itself and doesn't have access to anything else. And if you're going to use it to like automate things, make sure it's nothing that's important, like your calendar, okay, but not your bank accounts. OpenClaw security fears led Meta and other AI firms to restrict its use completely. This is Ars Technica. People at Meta were told if they use it, they will be fired if it's on their work machines because of the security risk.
For what it's worth, Christine, given how Microsoft works, I don't know a lot about the iOS systems, Mac systems, but the way Microsoft works, I wouldn't use it on my computer or on my calendar.
No.
I wouldn't use it on my Google calendar, yeah. Especially given how integrated it is with Gmail.
That's true. Yeah, I don't use those systems like for heavy work. So you're right. I did overlook that. Yeah.
And the reason I wouldn't use it isn't because I don't think it would work. I think it would work quite well, but I think that the integrations of the systems on my computer create 101 different holes that, you know, I don't even know about, but I know that they're there.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, enterprise level have entire security teams who can put some things in place to try to restrict it. ChatGPT is supposedly developing a lockdown mode. But I read the article today and it hasn't been really successful, so we're not going to report on it until they have something to talk about.
Well, but, I mean, here's they have to develop something because you and me were arguing through this story before we went to air. And I still stand by what I said. There are reams and reams and rooms of lawyers set up and just waiting for the lawsuits.
Sure.
They have to patch this. They got to patch the problems.
These companies are paying developers $1 billion. Not that worried about a lawsuit, right? Not now. Maybe later. But right now, they need to get something out and market that people use. Head of Microsoft, as we know from a couple weeks ago, said, if we can't find a use for this soon, people aren't going to let us keep doing it.
Another guy from Microsoft a week ago said, every white-collar job in America is going to be gone in like 18 months.
That's the same guy. Right, that was a while back. He's changed that.
Okay. So we know that they're doubling down on this. OpenAI themselves just hired Steinberger, the guy who created OpenClaw, to basically lead the creation of proactive AI agents for the OpenAI system.
Such a weird hire. Because the biggest story about this thing was a few weeks ago we reported on it when it committed the nefarious code to GitHub and the skills, and there's nothing that protects people from it getting attacked because it doesn't have any guardrails on it. So it just seems like an odd thing. But the guy that Steinberger says he doesn't want to build a company again, so he's more willing to sell it and work with them. But we know OpenAI in the past, their app store had no security reviews on the apps that were in there, just a warning that we don't do security reviews on these apps. So I would keep an eye on if you're using these heavily, and I know a lot of people in our industry are using them very heavily because I'm in the chat groups. just be careful and see where this is going and make sure that you're not opening yourself up. Also, there's a security checklist at OpenCall, which will tell you some of the things you can do to try to protect yourself. But again, these are invisible prompt injection. It just takes text and your system to be open in a way that the text can attack something that the hackers are looking to attack. So doesn't mean it's going to happen to everybody, but this is incredibly insecure technology. So make sure you isolate it and put it on a separate system.
So a couple of weeks ago, might have been more than that, we reported on a story where somebody had created an incredibly elaborate hoax to get fake product information into the LLM systems, just to see if they could do it. And they used a multi-stage attack where they, originally just made a simple web page. Then they made a number of supporting documents, some GitHub documents, some Substack articles. I think they had a couple fake landing pages made up for fictitious PPC campaigns they were running. And they did this all over a period of like 8 months to convince the various LLMs and to test the various LLMs to convince them that this was a real company and to see what they could get the LLMs to say about that company. It's been done again. In fact, this is what they did is now becoming what I think is going to be considered black hat AIO, GEO, or SEO in the AI world. I read chatter in the SEO community, specifically around our SEO Reddit. About the new method of basically faking it until you make it in SERPs. That's out there now, Christine. It's happening.
It's actually, you're talking about data poisoning the large language models, which is something I was writing about 2 years ago. It's new to SEO community. I guess it's not new. It's one of the 10 OWASPs for large language models.
Oh, indeed. But now it's a being used frequently enough that it's appearing in Reddit subreddits.
Yeah, I posted last year sometime, probably spring, that the large language models had no idea what was coming for them because they have no way to protect against the amount of spam that they're going to get hit with once the affiliate market starts using it for its purposes. Google was smart. You know, Matt Cutts used to talk to SEOs and everyone kind of worked together most of the time to like make Google better, but also, you know, get a little tips and tricks for the people to make money off of. But that large language models have no communication with the SEO world. So they have no idea my belief is they have no idea what tsunami is coming for them. Because once you poison that data, it can't be unpoisoned. If repoisoned, maybe retrained, but you can't take it out. So
it's something that worries me that I'm seeing more and more of it out there. And like you said, Christine, once it's in there, once it's in the various knowledge bases of the various AIs, it's hard to extract it and hard to retrain the AIs to understand truth a different way.
Yeah, you can put in more data than it has on other things, so it'll use the temperature for the prediction of the text that it's writing. So if I see Jim Hedger a million times and Christine Schackinger 10, you're the most likely word that goes in that sentence. But if I want to retrain something like Musk did with Grok, then you go and train on all the things you wanted to. Instead, putting Jim Hedger, you put something else there. So it would be trained more on those items, or it would train on larger text space, or retrain on a definite text space you wanted the things to gear to. It has bias, lots of bias, and it can be trained to have bias.
You know, part of me is really happy to be close to retirement age, and the other part of me really wishes I was like 25 years old so I could get my elbows so dirty with both the ethics and the actual practice of this stuff. Okay, we've been how to segue to Google is probably about to eat everyone's lunch again. So a few years ago, OpenAI pushed Google almost over the edge with the introduction of ChatGPT. In fact, it almost pushed everybody over the edge. That led to the explosion of, well, pretty much everyone who was working in AI had to introduce a public model like right then and there. Everyone was predicting the death of Google, much like the, everyone keeps predicting the death of SEO. But as it turns out, Google had so much money, so much depth, so many resources, and so many smart people, it just developed pretty much every foundational thing it needed to not only compete in LLMs and other forms of artificial intelligence, but actually, as much as anyone can credibly claim to, go for the great prize of advanced general intelligence. Google's Gemini, though, is being reported by MSN and I think by, you know, pretty much anybody over the last couple of months who's been paying attention, is really positioned, quietly positioned itself to outcompete every other American-based AI company.
Yeah, this is from Market Insider, and basically Google has a couple of advantages. One, they have the new chips we talked about a couple months ago, I think it was, where the chips don't cost like what a NVIDIA chip does. I think if I remember correctly, about half as much. So they have the ability either to invest in a lot more compute power, which is what's holding OpenAI back right now, as we know, or they have the ability to cut costs if they need to because of the chips that they've developed. And I have a feeling they're not sharing those chips with anybody right now. So they have that advantage. Also, when people predicted the death of Google, I thought it was interesting because the paper that Sam Altman used to develop ChatGPT came from Google. And Google developed the original tech for putting a word in a sentence with disambiguation. And that was BERT, B-E-R-T, as we all know from the industry. So, and that was not something that really did anything with SEO itself, but it actually made it easier to process language and documents. So it kind of funny to me that everyone's like, oh no, they're dead in the water. It's like, I think they were just being responsible adults and slowing how they were going to roll this out, like slow roll it. And they developed it into a point where they thought they could make the money and they had the tech ready and everything, but they didn't have that time because OpenAI threw itself into the market in a full display of fireworks, basically. So I don't think it's surprising. I do think it's interesting. It does look like that Google might be the one that overtakes the industry. And that's not good for OpenAI because I know from things I've read, not on the thing today, sorry, the spreadsheet, couple of words, today, but that OpenAI has got a lot of people predicting it might run out of money next year. Unless they come up with a big money player, and they're already restricted by compute power because they don't have the money to put into the chips. So
when you say come up with a big money player, you mean outside investor?
No, I'm thinking so far there's no market or for any of this.
Some way to make money. Like, yeah, one or
a way to make money. Yeah. There's no revenue model.
So really, their only hope is to have some third party, some outside force come along and give them a boatload of money because how are they going to make. I don't see it. I don't see any other way for them to make the money.
I have a theory.
What's that?
I don't know that this is true, but they did, as we know from some of our reporting, that they did open it back up to adult chats. And adult chats release dopamine and oxytocin. And apparently it's a different oxytocin than we release with humans. And
the primary drive for everything is sex. Absolutely. There's no reason to do anything unless it involves procreation. But who's going to advertise around that? Because, you know,
I don't need to.
They just get people using ChatGPT or maybe spending $20 a month for the right to create like boob images?
I can create pornography with the image creator. I can dress people, most likely.
But how does that make OpenAI money? That costs them money.
It does, but if they can charge people X amount a month, they'll never give up their account.
Okay, so now we're looking at the premium level where you're paying 60 to 70 a month because ooh la la.
But you can do images and video and blah, blah, blah. And they won't say adult chat in there anywhere, but that's what will be the idea. With dark patterns to get people to release the oxytocin and the dopamine.
Well, I think if you start hearing an uptick in chatter about people having to go to their bunks for the next half hour or whatever.
Well, we know that there's been a big push in companions in that market for the last 6 months. Meta's done it. OpenAI is doing it. Gemini hasn't done that, I don't think, but that's because they have Google's money behind them. They don't necessarily need it. And it would not look good for Google to be pushing a site that did that. But the open models have, are not restricting adult chat anymore. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So Microsoft is, this sort of harkens back to another story we just covered. Microsoft is, locking down a number of ports that AI agents might access. It's worried that misused permissions, old poisoned memory, and that sort of stuff might hurt its internal systems. So it's locking down the use of AI inside of Microsoft. And I think the next thing is it's going to lock down interaction with outside agents.
Yeah, because I love this title from Digital Trends, that they can become a double agent. It sounds all spy versus spy.
One of the reasons Microsoft should worry... Oh, sorry, Christine?
No, go ahead.
Well, one of the reasons they should worry so much is, again, like I was saying earlier, the Microsoft spent the last year in its system upgrades for Windows 11 increasingly integrating how different parts of Windows operate with each other. And it's all revolving around Copilot. They really, really want Copilot to be your personal assistant. Problem is, Copilot doesn't pay a lot of attention by design and by function. It can't really pay a lot of attention to personal privacy because it's got to go in and out of parts of your system that, such as your emails or your banking information that previously you would have closed off. Copilot recently was caught summarizing confidential emails and making those summaries widely available.
They're labeled confidential, and so they shouldn't have been in those spaces. But like you said, things kind of tend to merge and get wrong. It was a bug. It wasn't like, it was programmed to do that. It's nothing nefarious in intent. It was detected on January 21st and impacts Copilot's work tab chat feature. And per Microsoft's advisory, Copilot chat was incorrectly pulling in and summarizing emails from users, sent items in drop folders, even when they had the sensitivity labels on them. So they are fixing it. I don't believe they fixed it just yet, but they are working on a patch right now to get it fixed. So hopefully very soon that'll be not an issue anymore. These systems have gotten so complex. It's not, that difficult for something to get by people. So
yeah. So Pablo Picasso, who incidentally was never called an asshole, had a great quote. Good artists copy, great artists steal. So Blue Sky has integrated new technology from a startup called the Germ Network that's going to bring end-to-end encrypted messaging into the Blue Sky app, which is kind of exactly how Twitter worked in the past.
Yeah, the article, I was a little disappointed because it was TechCrunch. The article was like, this is the first time this has ever happened. It's like, no, the reason Twitter got so popular is they let everybody use their API and they created all these great apps for people, including TweetDeck, which then they bought and destroyed. But the accessibility apps were created because Twitter in the early days, oh my gosh, you could barely understand what it was doing if you're on the desktop, let alone mobile or if you had accessibility needs. So it's nice to see. Blue Sky still is having issues, I think, just because of the way Blue Sky works. But we'll see if it helps. I don't know why you call it Germ.
I know. That's just the name they came up. You know, but you ain't gonna forget it, are you?
No, you are. Now, the one good thing is it is end-to-end encrypted messaging. an end-to-end means, unless someone has gotten access to your phone itself, where it can see what you're typing, the messages are secure from the point that they leave your system to the point that they are received on the other end. So no one can snatch them while they're traveling through cyberspace. So if they're not end-to-end, you can travel, you can get those messages at the endpoint and the, you know, the starting point, as they're released into cyberspace and as they're retrieved from cyberspace. But in this case, it will be locked down on both ends. If they get on your actual phone, though, then there's nothing you can do about that because they can see what you're doing on your phone. But that's rare. So it sounds like an interesting idea. They definitely need some help. So I wanted to see Blue Sky succeed.
Well, indeed, me too. I spent see Blue Sky succeed, and I have an account there. I was one of the original account holders, and I could spend zero time there. I'm terrible that way. Okay, I need to tell you this. There's a bug in the Google system. So
there's a bug.
Google Photos is somehow neglecting to sync up with its mobile app. So, take photos on your phone. Google Photos syncs up, saves your photos to the cloud. Your Google Photo cloud may be missing some of your photos that you remember taking. That's because it didn't sync up with your mobile device. Assumably, they're working on it.
They are, yeah, and it started just last month. So,
Hold on. It started just last month.
Yeah,
that was like 20 days ago.
That's true. I just haven't had it around for like a year or something. It's like pretty new. By the way, this is just a side comment. I'm not going to name the site, but I went to that site to get the article, and they have every ad known to man on that site. And I will never go back to that site ever, ever again because it bogged down my entire computer. People, just an SEO advice or a PPC advice, whatever you want to take it. You do not make more money off of more ads. You make money more money off of less ads because people don't want to come back to your site because, like, I just had that experience and put in our notes, Jim, don't go to this site because it'll bog down your entire computer because it's running every ad known to man. Anyway, I just wanted to put that out there while we had the moment. That's my PSA for the day. It's my PSA for the day.
Okay. So, a couple of weeks ago, we said that Google was trying to find ways to allow sites to opt out of showing up in Google's AI features like AI mode or AI overviews. It might take a little bit longer than Google anticipated. According to the managing director of news, books, partnerships, EMEA at Google, Sunlia Connell, it's a huge engineering project.
Yeah, the quote from how do you say that, Selena Cornell? Managing Director of News and Books Partnerships, EMEA at Google. We've heard the need for more controls, and we've heard it pretty consistently, controls on how news content appears on search, and we have set proposals from the authority of the UK. They control a lot of the rules around what they do. This is SEO Roundtable, by the way. What I can tell you at this stage is that we're exploring more granular controls because AI is integral to how search works. Implementing the new controls is a complex engineering, huge engineering project. And we have been highly intentional in our approach. The idea is to focus on simple, scalable tools that you can use to manage your content. We also understand that to allow you to make informal decisions about AI search features, you need more information, blah, blah, blah. One thing they say in the tweet that's in the article is that they're talking about a Gemini app feature where it prioritizes and highlights links to publishers with which a user has a subscription. I would not actually prefer that, but maybe some people do. My subscriptions are limited because I can only afford so many a month. And for this show, I may look at 20 different articles, and I need them all to show up by order in like time and date, not by whether I have a subscription to that or not. So, but people may be different. I don't know about you, Jim. Do you want to have it sort by subscription or sort by time and date?
I consume a huge amount of information every day.
Me too. Yeah.
I prefer it sorted by time and date, obviously. But I'm also subscribed to more news sources than I can shake a stick at. So I don't know.
That too. That too.
Chronology is pretty important in the political world that in the political worlds I work in.
Yeah, same here. So that's not coming soon to allow you to opt out of AI overviews. But I do think that I read an article, it's not in here, Tim. I'm just going to throw this in real quick, that a journalist was or a publisher was on Twitter talking about how much it costs to do an investigative journalist piece. So it can cost them anywhere from $50,000 to $200,000 to do an investigative journalist article. And it takes AI 2 cents to copy it and distribute it everywhere. And the only advantage you have in news is being the first to story. So when the AI picks it up and puts it everywhere, then you're out of that advantage. So I could see a lot of publishers wanting their stuff not to show up in AI overviews. It's already in stories and they're always in other places, Discover News.
It's really, really, really hard though, because once it's published, people publish snippets, they take little bits of it, and it gets published in a number of other places besides where it was originally published. So Google's going out of, say, let's say Google has its word. And I know that's a risky thing to do, but let's take Google at its word. It wants to limit copy taken from people who don't want their copy taken. Let's pretend that's for real, okay? So it excludes copy from their domain. It follows robot text protocol. Either it follows on page no follow tag, whatever, right? Or no index tag. But still, this information's proliferated in Twitter. It's proliferated on other
All the
websites and other
time.
blogs, and Google's going to get it somehow anyway. How do they stop that?
Well, that's true too, but the AI overview isn't going to pull it in as soon as it's published and train and summarize.
No.
So,
So, as you said, first to market means
yeah.
you get
Because
read most frequently, but.
I've worked with very big publishers, and what they do is they publish the article and then they syndicate it like half an hour later. So, or 15 minutes later. So the times are very short. They're not looking to be first a story for days or hours. Most of that life cycle of most stories is 24 to 48 hours. So, yeah.
In the organic world, Google has really, really, really strict criteria for judging the veracity, the truthfulness of copy found in the medical and the financial fields specifically. Same thing in the paid ad world as well. And Google's actually rolling out an update in Google Ads for advertisers. New certifications for some cryptocurrency and complex speculative financial products. This is being rolled out, this these updates are being rolled out incrementally to all advertisers over a period of time, and not to all advertisers and certification applications. I'm sorry, and not all certification applications will immediately be affected, according to Google. The types of certifications: cryptocurrency exchanges and software wallets, cryptocurrency hardware wallets, cryptocurrency coin trusts, complex speculative financial products. So if you're running
You can,
a
yeah.
Coinbase and you want to advertise for it, you're going to have to do new levels of certification to prove to Google that you're actually on the level and legit. And that they can look into your financial chain if they need to.
Yeah, and advertisers, existing certifications on advertisers' holds and pending applications will not be affected by the incremental launch.
Okay. So, according to a study by Kevin Indig, so actually, it's Kevin Indig, honest to goodness, trust this study. ChatGPT pulls most of its information from early sections, favoring direct definitions, balanced tone, and dense entries. 44% of ChatGPT citations come from the first third of a piece of content.
Yeah, it's really kind of interesting, but it kind of makes sense because the window for the large language models, the contextual window, is very small. I believe it's 2,000 characters. I'd have to go look it up to be sure that's right, but it's somewhere in that neighborhood. Whereas Google, just how tall the window is like 22,000 pixels visually. And I know they take, I think it's like, 18 or 20,000, but don't just quote me on that, tokens. So by the numbers, they found that 44.2% of citations come from the first 30% of content, 31% from the middle, that's 30-70%, and 24% come from the final third with a sharp, very sharp drop near the footer, which makes sense. At the paragraph level, AI reads more deeply. 53% of citations come from the middle paragraphs, 24% come from first sentences, and 22% come from last sentences. So, and what gets cited? Five traits for highly cited content. Definitive language. Cited passages were nearly twice as likely to use clear definitions. X is, X refers to, direct subject, verb, object statements. Conversational QA structure. Cited content was two times more likely to include a question mark, which makes sense because large language models run off NLP. NLP loves questions. It's easy to for them to respond to. Entity richness. So typical English text contains 5-8% proper nouns. Entities are just nouns. Heavily cited text had 20%. That's quite an increase. Balanced sentiment. So basically, you know, it's not dry or too emotional. And then business grade clarity. It has a flesh Kincaid grade level of 16, 19 for lower performing content. That is high for Google. So I would not optimize to that standard. So, or if you want to be in Google search.
Indig calls his numbers statistically indisputable. And to check us out, he looked into 1.2 million AI answers and just under 20,000 verified citations. Okay, indisputable. I love the quote. Statistically indisputable.
And then there's an article right after that in here. I think we should just skip for the moment, and we can come back to it later.
Yeah, well, it kind of supports Kevin's theory or Kevin's statement. Google warns not to serve not available in JavaScript.
This is a weird one because it's when the page
actual content that loads is available.
Yeah, before the content actually loads, the JavaScript might say not available. And if you publish that, Google may think your page is like a 404.
So if you got a chunk of crappy JavaScript that's supposed to pull something, but that something isn't available, so it gives a non-available message, and it loads early in the content, Google might say, hey, there's nothing here.
Yeah, I just realized what this is probably. They're probably talking about e-commerce pages. It's like product not available. And they just said change it to available if that page is available and just loading, because otherwise Google sees not available and thinks that the page doesn't have content that they need to serve, basically.
Okay, so again, there is dozens of objects elements that are pulled in the in JavaScript calls in the initial load of a page. My read of this is one of them comes up with a not available, Google might look at the whole thing and go, well, there's no content here. Screw
that's
it. We're out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it's saying. I probably didn't say that well.
So you know what that means? Adventures in Inspector. That's what that means.
You can also run a Screaming Frogger site bulb screenshot view of all your pages and check through it for that.
Yeah, see where stuff is breaking. Exactly. Well, of course. Visible anchor text for links. Google recommends you focus on visible anchor text for links. Of course. Why is this a question?
I don't know either. So I think I'm going to start a new session going, what?
Yeah, why is this a question?
Yeah, the question was link context question a long time ago in a galaxy not so far away when indexing Google used anchor at plus title to understand the context of a hyperlink. What do users should expect on the other end? Would it be fair to say the area label has replaced the title attribute? Area label is an accessibility a piece of code asking due to mobile browsers not supporting title attribute, mobile first indexing, and area label being an ally equivalent. John just replies, I'd focus on the visible anchor text. If you want to provide more context for search engines, make it obvious to everyone what the page, what the linked page is for. That would be your anchor text. So I don't really understand. I mean, I get maybe why they thought that, but I don't know. And so, yeah. But anyway, make sure your links are visible. That's why JavaScript links often cause a problem, because the link itself or the link text is not visible. So,
okay. So Google's released the Google Search Console AI powered configuration tool. It's teased other features like branded queries and social channels, which actually social channels is now in beta. It's actively in beta in for Search Console users. But apparently these features need a lot more testing before they're fully rolled out. I'm seeing one of my old clients. You know how you have old client accounts and they forget to turn off your access?
Yeah.
One of them is asking me to check out all their social channels in Search Console, and I so desperately want to turn it on, but I'm afraid someone will notice.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I'm not going to, by the way. I that would be unethical. I don't touch old accounts.
But I do look at them. I do, especially if there's an update. I look, because I know how that site was created, coded, fixed. So if those sites are up, then my sites are up. I count it as good.
Well, indeed. And, you know, who among us doesn't actually look at the at your old client's data, but never, ever, ever change their accounts? That's not cool.
Yeah, exactly. But once I've asked you 3 times to remove me, it's just there. Google has hover pop-up links official in Google AI overviews in AI mode. So basically, there's going to be like a card that comes up. We talked about this possibly rolling out a few weeks ago, so it has now been rolled out. So I think it'll increase the likelihood of a click. It's not quite as good as Bing's, where it's just the actual card with the AI overview little segment underneath, but I think it'll definitely be better.
Okay. And lastly, in case you were worried, Google doesn't have a bad title algorithm filter.
Yeah, this is an unusual one too. I have a feeling there's people writing weird articles.
You can change your page titles, and you can see a lot of effect in changing titles in search rankings, in crawls, in attention you get from Google. That actually happens. That is absolutely for real. But it's not because Google has a specific algorithm looking at the title. It's because Google detects a change to an incredibly important element on your page.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not really sure where this would have come from, except that the person made changes and they saw an issue with their site traffic. So I guess they thought it must be related to this titles. But for everybody knows, Google often rewrites the titles. The titles are very important to relevancy for Google search, so that you have what you know the page is about in there, but there's no devaluation for just not having great titles. If that was the case, no site on this world would probably rank, because most of the sites I work with have missing titles, many of them, no description.
I was gonna say, except for the pages I work on, which all have great titles.
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course, definitely. So
okay, and I'm afraid that's it. We've gone right around the clock. It's just over an hour today. Our engineers will be lovely happy about that. So to tease some stuff coming up in the future, we got an interview with our sponsor Tom from Audience Key coming up any minute, actually.
All about product grids, his new product, which is awesome. It's product grid tracking.
We have some serious dish on the war over at WordPress coming up really soon. We are going to be diving even further into the workings of AIs. And we got some fun special guests coming up in the very near future. Until then, On behalf of Christine Trackhunter from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. Folks, be really kind and patient with each other. Practice good practice, do good business. Be kind to each other and rank well. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.